It is about 12 minutes to 9 o'clock. Have you ever sat in a crowd and thought to yourself, I wonder what that person over there is thinking? Or maybe someone hasn't explained themselves very well to you and they expect you to be a bit of a mind reader. This happens to me with my family all the time. They're like, you're not making sense. And I'm like, but can't you read my mind? You know what I'm saying? It is, of course, the stuff of science fiction or of great fiction. But mind reading could be closer than you think in some ways. There's a team of scientists in the United States investigating the future of mind-sharing communications, and they're making some inroads. That's all because a little boy watched Star Trek in his lounge room in India, and then he grew up after seeing Dr. Spock. He thought that'd be interesting to look at. Bioethicist at Monash University, Paul Biegler, is with me, and he's written a piece about this for Cosmos magazine. Hello, Paul.
How are you, Sarah?
I'm good, thank you. Now, that little boy in India I mentioned is now a co-director at the Centre for Neurotechnology at the University of Washington. What's he trying to do? To be a Vulcan?
Great question. It's Rajesh Rao, and he's invented something called a brain-to-brain interface. So his dream really has been that we can share our brains. So think of the situation where you have a maths professor and he or she is not such a great teacher. Wouldn't it be great if you could just download all that information, a little bit like in the film The Matrix when Kung Fu was downloaded into the protagonist?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we'd do that? So, look, he's done a couple of experiments that have got some way towards that goal, and the most recent one was in 2019 where he had one person in one room playing a video game, Tetris, and that person had an EEG machine on their head, a cap that was registering their brain waves. That person made a decision whether to rotate a block in Tetris. It was passed wirelessly to another room where another person was sitting playing the same game, and they were wearing something on their head called the transcranial magnetic stimulator. And the wireless message from the first person stimulated the brain of the second person and gave them a flash in their brain, something that's called a phosphene, and that was a signal to rotate the block, which they did successfully, and they achieved this game as a collaboration. But, like, I think what's really intriguing, I mean, these are great experiments, but the other thing that's happening in the US is the research of Professor Jacob Robinson down at Rice University, and he's just got a top-up funding to bring his total funding to $28 million from DARPA, the US Military Research Organization. And he's inventing a machine that would allow one soldier in the battlefield to wear a headset that transferred their thoughts and feelings about the situation on the battlefield to another soldier's brain. In other words, reading thoughts and feelings from one brain and writing those onto another brain.
But how does that work? Is it about the electrical signals, like you said, that you're picking it up on one and it's transferring it wirelessly to another headset for another one?
How does it work? That is a great question, because what Jacob Robinson is doing is so high-tech, it's almost unbelievable. So on the read side of the brain, what he's planning to do, and I have to say this hasn't happened in people yet, but he's done it in rodents, on the read side of the brain, they want to genetically engineer brain cells with something called genetically engineered voltage indicators to essentially make a protein in the brain cell, in your neuron, that changes colour when the neuron fires. And they're not only doing that, but inventing a scanner. It's like a CT scanner with light. So it will be able to detect the change in colour of individual neurons to form a three-dimensional pattern of precisely which neurons are firing on in one person's brain.
But hang on, they're genetically engineering brain cells?
Correct. Well, it's you inject an adenovirus-linked gene that can alter the brain cell to change colour. Now, they haven't done that in humans yet.
No.
I'll just quickly tell you, how would you write that onto someone else's brain? So, for example, let's say that the soldier sees a tank moving at speed. You could potentially read that through the mechanisms that I've just mentioned. But then you've got to write that onto someone else's brain. You know, it could be many kilometres away and do it wirelessly. And they've invented a technology for that, which is also genetically engineering a brain, but this time So the brain cells fire when they are heated, and they're introducing iron metal nanoparticles into a brain that then get heated with a very elaborate magnet on the outside of a skull. Now, they've only done this in fruit flies.
You can't do this to people. This is appalling.
Well, it is. It sounds appalling, and you certainly cannot do it to people. And this is one of their challenges, because the Food and Drug Administration, which regulates medical devices in the US, they mandate that you can only create a medical device that will cure an illness. And so the plan is to experiment with the reading side of this device, potentially to restore sight to blind people. And the proposed trial, which could happen within 2 years, according to Jacob Robinson, would involve a blind person with a head-mounted video camera and then a device that would write what the camera is seeing onto the visual cortex of that person's brain. So that might be a disability serious enough for the FDA to consider that it was okay, and the person could potentially consent. They'd obviously have to give informed consent to this,
right,
but it would be okay to even offer something like that in the setting of such a serious disability.
Mm, amazing. I mean, it does sound like science fiction. I can see the movie already of how this could go wrong, and yeah. Like, in terms of, you know, it's a bleak kind of dystopian future if you've got, you know, people who can read each other's minds on the battlefield, Paul. I mean, do you think it's really conceivable, though? Because moving a Tetris thing is, you know, they were getting a signal, but that was they knew what they were going to do with that signal. You know what I mean? It was like, yes, I'm going to move this.
Yeah, it's a great point, because one of the issues with that Tetris experiment is that it relied on context, so the receiver needed to know that the flash in their brain meant yes. I think that this is possible, and he's done proof of purpose on the read side in mice, so that the mice were looking to the left or the right at a checkerboard, and they could use that read device to work out whether the mouse was looking left or right, so they could actually differentiate a very, very small area of their brain to work that out. And on the writing side, they've genetically engineered the fruit flies and been able to stimulate them so precisely with the magnets that they could make the flies do a mating dance. So I think it is conceivable, obviously a long way off, and as you point out, raises just massive ethical concerns, which I should point out, Rajesh Rao and Jacob Robinson are fully aware of, and they've actually got ethics teams embedded, Rao has got an ethics team embedded into his research, his research centre. But the ethical concerns are, you know, very briefly on the reading side, the idea of mental privacy, that we've got a right to keep our thoughts to ourselves.
Yes.
And then on the writing side, the possibility that you could get a brain jacker. So biohacking into the brain is known as brain jacking, that someone could brain jack into your device and potentially write a thought onto your brain that you did not want to have. And this would really push back against our notions of identity and personhood.
Oh, my gosh, this is huge stuff. Paul Bigler is with us. He's a bioethicist at Monash University. He's looked at this for Cosmos magazine. So obviously for you, you're coming at it from that framework of being a bioethicist. And one texter said to me, my God, it sounds like they're making the Terminator. And you can imagine governments soaking their hands in glee about this, certain governments around the world.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And, you know, if you were an autocratic government and we have plenty of those around the world, and yes, you just happen to want to know what people were thinking, and if you could mind people's thoughts, it'd be almost like almost a Cambridge Analytica of the mind. There'd be so much data there. But I should point out that there are good things happening in this space, and I'm not saying that Jacob Robinson's device wouldn't be a good thing, but if you look at Elon Musk's company Neuralink, they recently announced that they'd trial a similar device, but a brain-computer interface, in a monkey, such the monkey was able to play the video game Pong with its mind. And you can watch the video on YouTube. This monkey looks very happy. It's getting banana treats for
playing. It's telepathically playing a computer game.
It, It's got a brain computer interface implanted into the cortex of its brain. And humans have done this. We've done this with humans as well. So people who have surgery for epilepsy, sometimes in severe cases of epilepsy, you need to have surgical treatment to make it better. Some of those people have volunteered to have these devices trialed with fully informed consent and ethics approval. And people have been able to operate a computer cursor. A woman was able to operate a robotic arm and feed herself chocolate, all through the power of thought. So basically the brain waves are getting interpreted by an algorithm on a computer, and you can calibrate that to move a robotic arm or a cursor. So really there's a lot of movement in this scientific space at the moment.
Have you seen that show Dollhouse by Joss Whedon?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to note it down now and have a look at it.
Well, it kind of goes to this a little bit. He's the guy that made Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and then he's done some of the Marvel movies. I think it only lasted one season, but it does sort of unpack these sort of kind of ideas where there'd be people who they could erase their personalities and put other ones on. So it wasn't so much about mind reading as wiping minds and then inserting new ones in, but I guess that's a kind of extension you could take it to in science fiction.
Yeah, well, we already have people, about 100,000 people walking around now with a deep brain stimulator in their brain.
Oh, those with Parkinson's, yeah.
For Parkinson's, yeah. You know, there's been ethical issues raised about the possibility of hacking into those devices.
Stop. Right, okay. I hope they don't do that, because that can be a great thing for those with Parkinson's. Thanks so much for your time tonight. We're racing up to the news, but lots to unpack there. We might chat again.
Great to talk to you, Sarah.
All the best. That's Paul Biegler, who's a bioethicist at Monash University. He's written about this for Cosmos magazine. Some really interesting science coming up after the news.